heard so much signs of which month and all. But actually long, long time ago already it is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam how the baby in which month what grows, when will the hunger be felt, when will the head move, and when will the nails grow, when will the hair grow. All this description, very nice. So Lord Kapila is explaining about death in this particular chapter and birth in the next chapter. Krishna tells also in Bhagavad Gita, Jatasi Dhruva Mrityu Dhruvam Janma Mrityascha Tasmada Pariharyate Natvam Shochitumarasi. One who has taken his birth is sure to die. And after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, why are you lamenting, Arjuna? Krishna is telling. So, Devamti asked that question and Lord Kapila is very systematically answering in 30 and 31. Now she is asking another question in the 4th verse of the 29th chapter. She is asking, the question and answering going on. Please also describe eternal time. What is this eternal time? Which is a representation of your form. Time is the representation of the Supreme Lord's form. And by whose influence people in general engage in the performance of pious activities. Pious is telling that please explain to me about the eternal time. By whose, and the time is the representation of Krishna. He also tells in Bhagavad Gita that Mrutya Sarva Harascha. I come and you know everything, I devour everything. That we are really attached to Krishna comes and devours everything. So then he is telling that which is a representation of your form by whose influence people are in general engaged in performance of pious activities. So again in the further of this 29th chapter, Lord Kapila is explaining devotional service in the different modes of material nature. One who is in goodness, one who is in passion, how they actually devotional service in and of itself is pure and it's Swatantra, independent, but how the executor of this devotional service in different modes, they perform the devotional service, like that he is explaining, and then he is explaining what is pure devotional service, and also he is explaining in the further one who is engaged in the deity worship, how one has to, one who is engaged in deity worship during the Archana, how he has to view the other living entities. Because the Lord is present in everyone's heart in the form of super soul. And if one is only engaged in deity worship and do not care for the other living entities in whose heart the Lord is also personally present, then such a person is Krishna, that such a devotional service doesn't please the Lord. Because he is seen separate, like the Lord is there in everyone's heart. So everybody should be respected and everybody should be given honor. Thinking that in everybody's heart the Supreme Lord is present. So that he explains. And again he tells about different grades of people. Like he says that better than life, the people, the things that have no life sentence, the one who has life sentence are better. Then the sense perception, the one who has sense of touch is, one who has sense of smell is superior to one who has sense of touch. But then finally he says that one who has developed the hearing is more better, like that. Then also in the gradations among the animals, and then he says the humans are the best. And among the humans, the Brahmanas are the best. And one who has engaged in devotional service, they are the best. Then usually the how the Bhagavatam goes is, before the next canto begins, the last part of the canto is already introducing the next part. So like that, in the 29th chapter, the Lord is beginning to tell about the time factor. How it is influencing everyone, and people especially who don't know that the Supreme Lord is the, time is the representation of the Supreme Lord, they are very much afraid of the time factor. So he is slowly introducing that, and then he says that how everything in the universe is afraid of the Lord. They are fearful how the sun rises in the morning and how the seasons change and how the flowers, fruits, everything and all the demigods are performing their respective duties. So everything out of fear of the Lord. So slowly now the chapter 30 is beginning. In the chapter 30, what did the question Devamuti ask? Please explain to me about the eternal time, which is the representation of your form. So the Lord is beginning this chapter telling that what is that time factor. So here the Lord is, Supreme Personality of Godhead is using the metaphor to make us understand what is this time factor. He is saying that as a mass of clouds do not know the influence of the powerful wind with which they are being carried. Try to understand, very, very interesting how the Lord is giving this analogy, metaphor for us to understand. Is saying that as a mass of clouds do not know the powerful influence of the wind by which they are being carried, the influence of the wind. Similarly, a person engaged in the material consciousness does not know the powerful strength of time factor by which he is being carried. So what is he telling? Let us first try to understand. What is the Lord telling here? As a mass of clouds do not know the influence of the powerful wind by which they are being carried, similarly a person who is engaged in the materialistic activity, he does not know how he is being carried by the time factor which is being carried. Like, you know, so the Lord is telling this very, very interesting. The time in our life is so important. We are made up, our life is made up of time. Right from the time we take birth from the womb of our mother, the influence of time exerts on us. Every moment the time is passing. Like if somebody is 35 years old, the time has devoured his 35 years of his life. And even in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that Ayurharati Vaipumsha Mudhyanastam Chayanaso Tasyatyanita Uttama Sloka Vartaya. He says that both by rising and by setting of sun, what is happening? The sun decreases the duration of life of everyone. Except those who are engaged in devotional service, for them the time will not affect them. Why is that? Why is it that a person who has been engaged in material consciousness, he is, for him the time is decreasing his life by both rising and by setting sun, and person who is engaged in devotional service, for such a person the time cannot influence. Why is that? Because even though he is in the material world or he is in the spiritual world, he is already engaged in his eternal occupational duty. Jivera Swarupave Krishner Vityadas. He is already engaged in his constitutional position of serving the Lord. So whether he is here or whether he is, because even whatever activities he is going to perform in the spiritual world, he is already performing here. So for such a person, the time will not devour. Whereas other people who are engaged in material consciousness, for such people the time devours their life and then diminishes day by day. Both by rising and by setting sun, what is happening? How is that influencing us? One day in our life is lost. And also Chanakya Pandit says that a moment lost cannot be purchased by millions of gold coins. So time should never be wasted. And even in Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion, the 8 symptoms of Bhava Bhakti, in that one of them is Avyartha Kalatvam. A devotee is very, very careful, very cautious about how he is spending his time. Whereas a material person is very, very cautious how he is spending his money. Prahlad Maharaj is telling in Srimad Bhagavatam that although he is very, very careful to see that even a farthing is not wasted by mismanagement. So like that, you know, so the devotee is very, very cautious how every moment of his time is being utilized in Krishna's service, so that he is gaining his spiritual bank balance very much. So like that, the time, and also Arjuna is asking in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, universal form. After the Arjuna asked Krishna to show the universal form, because Arjuna didn't have the vision to see, Krishna gave that vision to see. Then after that Krishna began to show the universal form, and after seeing all the people entering and rushing into his mouth, everything like devastating force, then Arjuna said that, please tell me what is this, I am bewildered, please tell me who you are and what Krishna said that Kalosmi Loke Kshayakrit Pravuddho Lokan Samart Miha Pravutta Vite Pitvana Bhavishyanti Sarve Evastita Pratyane Keshvayoda. Time I am the great destroyer of all the worlds. I have come here to take everyone out except you, O Pandavas. Everyone on both sides will be slain. In the form of time, Krishna comes and devours everything. So, and also, what is the animal that is compared to know the time? Which animal is compared to? Time means? No.
Snake.
Snake, yeah. Kalasarpa. We are like being devoured, like, you know, like for example, if I'm sitting somewhere in a garden or somewhere, suddenly the snake comes, will it announce and come that I'm coming? It will come and devour us. So like that, the time is compared to Kala Sarpa. We are being devoured every minute, like, you know, it comes and takes us even without our notice. Like many a times we earn money with so much of our hard earned energy and strength, we earn money and we are very cautious to see that not even a cent is wasted in mismanagement. We are so cautious. But more than that, because anyway when we die we are going to leave everything and go. And more important than that is time. Because the money that we are so cautious will anyway go. But the time loss, a moment, is the greatest loss. Time should never be wasted. Because sometimes we think that we are so young, still there is so much time. Where is the time? Like, you know, it is said, like, if somebody is 7 years old, he has got 7 days to live. Somebody is 70 years old, he has got 7 years to live. Who is old?
7 year old.
7 year boy is old. So how come 7 year boy is old? He is so young, right? 7 years, how he can be old? He has got only 7 days. So what will determine old age? Old age does not determine our age. It determines the proximity to death will determine who is actually old. Who is actually old will be determined by the proximity to death. How much time? The 7-year-old boy has got only 7 days to live. Whereas 70-year-old man has got 7 more years to live. So that is why we should not be thinking that I'm still young. We see people dying at 7. Even the child, 7 day old boy, baby will die. 7 years old boy will die. 14 years old will die. So can we just take it for granted? Oh, still I have so much time in my life. Every moment, Radhanath Maharaj says that live in such a way that you next moment you are going to die. We may be driving cars, suddenly we may be driving properly, somebody else might come and hit from the side and we may die. So it's very, very precarious, and we make so many plans after plans to, like, you know, buy one house, somebody bought another house, I should buy. Oh, maybe he got 3 houses, then I'm going to, you know, buy even more. So use just so much competition, even amongst the devotees that is happening. Very, very unfortunate. Because they buy so many house after work, intense endeavor. In Bhagavad Gita 14 chapter, Krishna says that mode of passion. Intense endeavor, so many longings, desires, unlimited desires and longings. And for that, to fulfill that, you have to put intense endeavor. So nothing will come just like that. If I have to have 10 houses, I have to put intense endeavor day and night, overtime, undertime, casual, this time, night time, everything I have to work. And the valuable human energy that Krishna gives us. Krishna gives us the opportunity after millions of lives to come into the human form of life. And if we misuse that, how can Krishna excuse us? In the material pursuits, which are we are going to leave everything and go. And using all our energy and time to do that. That is the verse today we are talking. Then after that, here it is said that whatever is produced by the material is with great pain and labor, For so-called happiness, the personality of Godhead as the time factor destroys, and for this reason the conditioned soul laments. What it is said, the materialist with great pain and labor, he creates so many things. And all the end, so the Supreme Person in the form of time factor comes and destroys everything. For this, the conditioned soul laments. So many great sages, so many great saints and poets have written the devastating effect of the time. And there's so much lamentation. They have written, so many poets have written about the time factor. How the time is devouring. And so many things people plan, so many things, everything is crushed. The main effect of the time is destruction. Everything is destroyed. And the four ages, the Satyuga, the Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga, even like all these ages are passing, and why the Kali Yuga is so degraded, like even the time is making things so like day by day worse. It is said that pride and pavisha sabhya kalavasmin yuge jana manda samanda matayo manda bhage yupanta. It is said that, O king, in this iron age of Kali, men have short lives. They are lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, they are always disturbed. Tatashchandinam satyam shocham kshamadaya kalayana varimeyaraja nangshatiyayubbaram smriti. What is happening day by day? What is happening? Tatashchandinam satyam, truthfulness gone. Shaucham, cleanliness gone. Kshama, forgiveness gone. Daya, mercifulness gone. Due to the powerful influence of the age of Kali, Ayu, duration of life is reducing. Balam, strength is reducing. And memory, today we are depending on memory stick. How much memory is there? And all the great sages, simply by hearing Shruti-dhara, they have written all the scriptures. That was the memory of those. So Kali Yuga is so degrading. What is affecting the Kali? Kali is coming. And also Parikshit Maharaj, in the 16th verse, 16th, 17th, 18th chapter of the first canto, very nicely explains how this Kali Yuga, when it became, when it started to influence the, then you know, the Parikshit Maharaj, when he went to hunting, he saw Kali Purusha coming. Then, you know, Parikshit Maharaj saw this person and asked, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Kali." "What are you going to do here?" "This, no, I'm like, it is time for me to now come, so I have come." He said, "No, as long as I live, I will not let you come here." Then, you know, he said that, "Then, you know, you please give me some place," because the Raja means if somebody comes to shelter, they have to give protection and then give place, shelter. So then he said that you can go and live where all this meat eating, gambling, intoxication and all these things happen. Go and live there. He said, "I can't see any place like that." Then he says that, "Okay, you go and live wherever there is gold." Then Kali Purusha came and entered the crown of Parikshit Maharaj, and you know. Then he said, then Kali Purusha said this thing to Parikshit Maharaj. He said that, "If you think that as long as you live, I should not, Kali should not enter, then that means your death is very near. Because Kala can never be stopped. Kala can never be stopped. The time way has to keep going. So if you think that as long as you live, the time should not come, then that means your death is very near." So like that, Kala, nobody can stop. Kala influences, the Lord is telling that the materials is producing so many things with this hard-earned energy, and the Lord in the time, as a time factor, takes away everything. For this, the conditioned soul laments. Then today's verse, coming to the today's verse, the misguided materialist does not know that his very body is impermanent. First of all, the body itself is impermanent, and he is very, very much getting attached to his body, then the wealth, everything, all the paraphernalia, the wife, the children, the opulence, is getting so much attached to everything. What is that? So what are the five basic truths of Bhagavad Gita?
Karma.
The very first one is
self, Atma.
Ishvara. The next one is
Jiva.
Come and tell Sriya, which will be out of the five?
Jiva.
Ishvara, Parama, Jiva, Pratyeka.
Then the next one is?
Jiva.
Very good. Shreya knows the five, what are the five basic truths of Bhagavad Gita. And which is the one that is not eternal, Shreya? Karma is not eternal. Very good, well done. So, these five factors, so Krishna is talking about this kala. And due to the influence of kala, there are material activities. So, Krishna, what is the first teaching of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita?
The body.
Yeah. The very first teachings of Arjuna, Krishna's teachings to Arjuna is, we are not the body, we are eternal spirit souls. And then coming to this, so what are the five reasons that Arjuna gave to Krishna for not desiring to fight?
Compassion.
The very first one is compassion. Second one is?
No, sinful reactions. No, so family tradition.
Which is the second one? I want in order. The first one is compassion. Second one is?
Destruction of family.
Second one is enjoyment. The third one is? Prabhu, please tell you, told that.
Loss of family tradition.
Fear of sinful reactions. And then the fourth one is?
Loss of
destruction
of dynasty. And the fifth one is?
Indecision.
So, after Arjuna gave this five reasons desiring not to fight, that should not have caused him confusion, right? But what has happened in Arjuna's mind is he is now completely bewildered. And Arjuna is giving logical reasons, religious reasons, moral reasons, ethical reasons. Giving all these reasons, it should not have been confusing for him. But guess what? He's confused. In Karpani Dosha Parpatosa, the complete system of material activities is all perplexities only. So Arjuna is saying that, now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Shreyas, what is best for me? Now I'm your disciple and a soul surrender unto you. Please instruct me. Who said this?
Arjuna.
To whom?
Krishna.
So far they were having friendly relationship. Suddenly it has become like this. Who is this?
Krishna.
Who is this?
Arjuna.
So Krishna has now become spiritual master, and Arjuna has become disciple. What was the relationship? Friendship means what rasa was going on? Sakya rasa. And then suddenly what rasa it changed to?
Guru.
What rasa it changed to? What are the five rasas? The first is Shanta rasa, then Dasya rasa, then Sakya rasa, then
Then
Vatsalya rasa, then Madhurya rasa. So Arjuna and Krishna's friendship was, which rasa was that? Sakya rasa. Now which rasa is going on? Please tell me loudly.
Dasya rasa.
Dasya rasa. No. Who is? Please tell me loudly.
Vatsalya
rasa. Very good. It's Vatsalya rasa. Why? Because the guru and disciple's relationship is father and son relationship. Vatsalya, love and affection. So there is rasa sandhi. There is a change in rasa going on. So Krishna became the guru and Arjuna became disciple. And Krishna started to smile. Prahasan iva bharat tamuvachar shikesha prahasan iva bharata senayor bharayor madde vishidam tamidam vachaha. So Krishna now smiling, oh Arjuna, so far you talk so many big things, now you are surrendering to me. Krishna smiled, prahasanniva bharata. Then that smile became slowly grave expression. Guru means heavy, right? Krishna became guru and began to chastise Arjuna. Which is the first reason that Arjuna gives for desiring not to fight?
Compassion.
So Arjuna is now, Krishna is now giving a good knowledge to Arjuna. When we go to school, what's the first thing we learn? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. So how is Krishna by beginning Bhagavad Gita? Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Ashochiyan, A. ಅಶೋಚ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶೋಚಸ್ತ್ವಂ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾವಾದಂ ಚ ಭಾಷಸೇ ಗತಾಸಂ ನಾಗತಾಸಂಶ್ಚ ನಾನು ಶೋಚಂತಿ ಪಂಡಿತಾ. ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಸೆಡ್, ವೈ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಲರ್ನೆಡ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್? ಯು ಆರ್ ಮೋರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವರ್ತಿ ಆಫ್ ಗ್ರೀಫ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವರ್ತಿ ಆಫ್ ಗ್ರೀಫ್? ದ ಬಾಡಿ. ಅರ್ಜುನ ಇಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಮೆಂಟಿಂಗ್, ಹಿ ಡಸ್ಂಟ್ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಕಿಲ್. So he is telling this lamenting for this body. So Krishna is telling, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So very nice. Krishna is beginning from ABCD, Ashochyam. So then he is telling that never was there a time when you did not exist, nor I, nor all these things, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So Krishna is telling the difference between the body and soul, what is eternal, what is temporary. So here Krishna is very nicely explaining, Dehi nosmin yatha deh, omam yuvanam jana, how the time is influencing from boyhood to youth to old age. Similarly, the soul is passing into another body. A sober person does not lament for such a change. Then Krishna is also telling, what are the other verses is telling, very very important. Na jayate mriyate va kada chinnayam bhutva bhavitava na bhuya ajo nityah shashato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire. For the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time, is not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. Then he is saying, Vasam shijirnani yatha vihaya namani grahmati naroparani tatha shirirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyati namani dehi. As a person puts on new garments giving up the old ones, similarly the soul accepts new material bodies giving up the old and useless ones. Then the self soul, nainam chindanti shastrani nainam dahati pavanaha na chainam leda yantyapo na shoshayati mardaha. What is that? The soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind, nor
burned
by fire. The soul can never be destroyed, but the body can never be saved. And also in 2nd chapter 16th verse, it is said that na asato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha ubhayorpi drushtontaha tvanayos tatpadarshivihi. What is it said that those who are seers of truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance. Material body, there is no endurance. Because any minute it can finish. It is not permanent. There is no endurance. And of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. What it is said, those who are seers of truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no change. No, there is no endurance. And of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. So this is what, so in the material world, people are thinking that I am this body. It is all, Rishabhadev also says in the 5th canto, 5th chapter, 8th verse, Pumsa striya maitri bhava meta tayor mito hrudaya granthi mahu ato graha kshetra su tapta vittaya janasya moham aham kameti. What is Rishabhadev teaching to his 100 sons? So he is telling that Pumsa striya Sriya Maitrini Bhava Meta. What is said that by the attraction between male and female, there is attraction between male and female, then there is attraction for sex. How does this material attachments begin? Very nicely Rishabhadev explaining, by the attraction between male and female, there is an attraction and there is a want to enjoy. So like that, they mix, and then by that what will happen next thing? Pumsa sriya maitri bhava metam tayo mito hrudaya granthi. Hard knot between male and female, there's a hard knot created in the heart. which can never be cut. So hard knot is formed in the heart. Then he is saying that hard knot, then he becomes very much attached to his body and the home and property. Then he says, ato graha kshetra. So because of hard knot, they want to live together. To live together, they need graha. Graha means what? The home and land, kshetra. Graha kshetra, suta. Then after having a house, they want to have children. First, what is happening? There is attraction between male and female. Then they want to enjoy the sex. And then after that, there is a hard knot formed in the heart. And then what is happening? For them to live, they need graha, a home to live. Then they want children, suta. Then apta. Apta means relatives. So to maintain all this, you need vittai. Vittai means wealth. So in this way, what is happening? In this way, one increases the life's illusions and thinks in terms of aham mameti. Aham mameti, janasya mohoyam, aham mameti, I and mine. Aham mameti principle. So that is how the whole material world, they don't know the difference between matter and spirit. What is permanent and what is temporary. No university in the whole world is teaching about the science of the soul, which is the most important. No university in the whole world is teaching about the science of the soul, which is the principle, the main principle of our existence, which is moving like the body is completely dead. It's a dead vehicle. It is being moved by the soul's presence. It is being activated. Once the soul leaves, the body is completely temporary. It is eaten by the body which we really care and give so much lavish. It will be stool and food for the insects. So that is the nature of this body, and there is no university which teaches about the soul. Everywhere they are teaching about the jada vidya. Why do people study? Because they want to work. Are they reading this? Are they doing their courses with great interest? They are just doing because they have to finish this course and get degree and then get job. That is the only, and it is called jada vidya. Jada vidya means all the material education is only about nothing but only about dead matter. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami said that even if you burn all the books in all the universities, there is no loss. If Srimad Bhagavatam is there, that is enough. Because why Srimad Bhagavatam should be there in all the universities is because it is said, Dharma Prochahita Kaitavatra Paramo Nirman Sharanam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastam Shivadam Tapa Trayvam Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parairishwara Sadhya Hridi Avarudhya Tetra Kriti Vihi Shushru Siddhis Takshana. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is distinguishing reality from illusion. What is that? Bhagavatam teaches one, what does it teach? Reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries of material existence. This beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity is sufficient in itself for God realization. Where is the need for any other literature? If one sincerely and submissively hears the Srimad Bhagavatam with sincere attention, the Lord is established within his heart. Srimad Bhagavatam, if that Bhagavatam is there in all the universities, then if all the books are burned, there is no loss. So that science of the soul is very, very important. I will tell one story and then stop here. I don't know how many of you know the story of four wives. Shall I tell the story of four wives?
Yes.
We all of us in our lives, we have four wives. So do you all want to know who your four wives are? Yeah? So there was one king. He had four wives. And then out of four wives, loved the first wife very, very much. He gave him the best of everything. He gave her with rich robes, endowed her with rich robes and the finest of delicacies. And he gave everything, nothing but the best to her. He gave so much care and attention and gave everything to her. Who was this wife? Which wife was this? No, actually fourth wife. So he gave everything, nothing but the best to her. But then what happened? Then he loved the fourth wife the best. And he also liked the third wife also. He also liked, and he used to show off about this third wife to everybody. He used to the neighboring countries, he used to do so much show off about this third wife. Why? Because she was very beautiful. And also, he was, one thing he was scared about the third wife was, he was always worried that one day she might leave him and go away. And then, so now we discussed how many wives? Fourth wife and third wife, right? Now we discuss about the second wife. The second wife, the king liked her also very much. But she was more like his confidential servant, like, you know, confidently. Like, you know, if he was in any trouble, he would turn to this second wife for the solace. And she was very compassionate, patient and very merciful. And she used to very empathetic. And whenever she came and confided anything, the king came and told any problem, she would help him out through the difficult times. Which wife was this?
Second wife.
And then the first wife, although she loved the king very much, the king didn't like her very much. He didn't give much attention and he neglected her. Which wife was this?
The first wife.
And the time passed. As the time passed, the king began to become old and, you know, he knew that there's not much time left in his life. Then, you know, he thought that, oh, it's okay, I have four wives. Now I don't have to worry very much. Then he said that, then he went to his fourth wife and he told, oh, Rani, like, you know, I have given you everything best, you know. I looked after you very well. I gave you finest of the richest of the robes, you know, and gave you the most delicacies, and, you know, I gave everything, nothing but the best to you. So now that I'm going to leave, will you please accompany me with me? Will you come with me? Who asked this? To whom did he ask?
Fourth wife.
Then what was the reply of the fourth wife? No way! I'm not going to come with you. Life is so nice. I want to enjoy. Why would I come with you? This answer of the fourth wife came like a big sharp knife piercing through his mind. The king felt like that. Oh my God. Look what I'm getting. And then to whom did he turn to?
Third wife.
He went and asked, like, you know, now that, you know, I don't have much time in my life, so I might leave any moment. Will you please come with me and accompany me? The third wife said, no way, why would I come with you? If you die, I'm going to marry another one. Remember, I told you the third wife, she said, he was scared that he was doing show off, and if she leaves, I will go to another. Like, you know, he was scared that one day she will go to someone. So here she's telling that, why would I come with you? No, I'm going to marry another man and be very, very happy. So this answer came like a thunderbolt. And he was stated. Then to whom did we approach next?
The second queen.
Now he had some hope. Because the second queen was very compassionate, very considerate, very merciful and very patient. And she wanted to always want to help him out. So now he thought, she is the one only now I can depend on. I am going to ask her. He went and asked her, will you come with me now that I am dying? Will you accompany me? She said, yeah, I know that you are leaving. Yeah, it's a bit not good, but just that I can't accompany you. I am really sorry, she said. All that I can do at the most is I can come till the grave, you know. Till the grave I can come, but I cannot come beyond that. So at least she was told in a nice way, But still the king was very disappointed because she also didn't agree to come. Then a voice came out loudly. King, I will come with you wherever you go. Regardless, wherever you go, I will come with you. Which wife was this?
The first
wife. So now do you want to know who your four wives are? The fourth wife is our body. Regardless of how much rich robes we give, finest of delicacies, everything, nothing but the best, it will leave us and we'll die. Right? It will not accompany us. And then the third wife, who is our third wife?
Wealth.
Third wife is our wealth, possessions, houses, opulence, everything is our third wife. What will happen? When we die, everything will go to others. Right? Will we take anything with us when we die? Nothing. Everything will go to others. So like that, we get so much attached to our wealth, our body, our wealth, everything. This is the verse today, right? We get attached to all the paraphernalia, body is temporary, and then, you know, everything related to the body is all temporary. Then, you know, then who is our second wife?
Relatives.
Second wife is our family, relatives, wives, children, everybody, they are our relatives. Till where they at the most, even though they are there at all our difficult times, any problem, we confide for our, to get our, counseling, their counselors and all that. But how far do they accompany us? Till they send us to the grave, right? And can they come beyond that? So like that, even the friends and relatives, they also cannot come with us anymore. We think that my wife can protect me. The kind of Prabhupada writes, it's like a skin disease. My husband will protect me, my wife will protect me. Like that, like how the king thought, this four wives king thought, oh, I have four wives, what do I have to worry about? So, but see what happened. Then the second wife, she said that, at the most I can come to the grave. Then the first wife was the one, even though she was so neglected, but she was the one. Who is that first wife? Is the super soul. He accompanies us throughout our sojourn in so many millions of life forms. In the evolutionary cycle, the soul is entering in so many different forms. In throughout the forms, the soul, super soul, is accompanying the soul. Throughout the trees, there are two birds. Like the two birds, one is the bird. In the Kathopanishad, it is said that one bird is eating the fruit of the tree, that is the Atma bird, and the Paramatma bird is constantly witnessing this Atma bird so much engrossed in eating the fruits of the tree. The Paramatma bird is witnessing this Atma bird. When will this Atma bird turn and look at me? Then all his anxieties, worries, everything will subside. So, as soon as we see, actually Paramatma is constantly guiding us within. But we are so much our consciousness is so much covered, but we are not able to hear that. Like how the king, even though the fourth wife, is neglecting that fourth wife, the super soul is constantly guiding us. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Vidyeshatinati Sthiti. He is trying to always guide us, but we are so much covered that we are not able to hear the voice of the super soul. So like that, the king, gets a lesson that, you know, although I should have given the most care to my first wife, she got the least, but the most important was that. Then he learned the lesson. So like that, we all have four wives in our lives, and we should know that what is permanent, what is temporary, where my valuable energies are dotted, what is going to be permanent, what am I going to take when I leave this body? Neha vikrama nashasti prativayo namidyate swarpamaklasya dharmasya trayate matra bhaya. All the great, in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. And also in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, So this is the facility of being taking birth in a Brahmin family. So all the good qualities, good habit formation from the young age is taught. Like even then, you know, that those good qualities made us attraction to this devotion. As soon as I came, in 1991 I came here, in January 14th. As soon as I came, I was not very happy because I left all the family behind. There's nobody here, no relatives, no friends, nothing. Feeling very, not very happy. Then, fortunately, I think the purpose of our coming to Australia was this. As soon as we came, there was no absolute time loss. January 14th we came, January 21st around that time, we met a devotee. How we met? I went to one of our, only one friend we knew from India. He was there, we went to their house, there one devotee came. And then they introduced me to that devotee. You all maybe know him, that Prabhu, he is New Sydney or New Zealand. So they introduced me and he told his Krishna devotee, like, you know, our friend, she already told me that there's one devotee is going to come, he won't eat food if he don't offer to God, he won't eat, so like that. They had given me some information about him before he came. Then this devotee, he very much encouraged me to come to temple, please come to temple, very, very beautiful temple, you should come and all. Then as soon as he told, I told to my Prabhu, we are going to temple next week. And then I came to temple, and then first time I came to temple, then, you know, I came inside, I saw here in the side the Lord, and then Prabhupada sitting like that. Then everything, you know, then I came and saw, and I was very much enamored, more than the Lord, I was enamored by the marble floor, beautiful lights. Beautiful lights, so nice, beautiful, you know, it was very nice. You know, then I felt, you know, as soon as I entered here, I felt the difference of the change, you know. Beautiful, very nice place. Then that very moment, I decided that every Sunday I'm going to come here. No doubt, whatever it is, I didn't even have a car. We came by public transport that time. Then we came, and then we went upstairs. Then they were giving, like, you know, somebody said, you go upstairs, you can meet Prasad. And then we went up, and there were so, those days, Sunday feast means 91, I'm talking, 91 onward. There used to be square plates. They used to serve prasadam and put so many plates there. And there used to be Sunday feast. And as soon as the Sunday feast lecture is over, they would close the door, this door. Because they wanted to let people who attend the class first go up. They would line up and then go, and then they pick up the plates from the floor first. Because they would have served at least about 100 plates there. They would come and take the plates, and then they would go, and then after all those plates, then all the people who heard the class, they were finished, then slowly they would release that gate, and then people used to go and take the rest of the plates, and then more people coming, they would serve. So that was the system going, 91 I'm talking about. Then what happened, then we went up, then they gave a basket, they brought basket with the books. I didn't know what to do. Then they came in front of me, then they said, can you give some donation? Then we put $10, then they gave a book to me. I took that book and then kept in my bag. Then after that, then I went upstairs, then I ate whatever was there. Then like that, every Sunday, definite coming to temple. And this Prabhu, whom I first met, he used to sit with us and we pressed. Slowly, slowly, he was very happy that we are coming to temple, because for following his instruction and coming to temple, he was very happy. He used to sit with us and eat and all. Then what happened? Then every Sunday we used to come like that. And come, and then slowly, slowly, everybody used to offer obeisances. I used to also offer. I was thinking maybe I should also. Then slowly, slowly, slowly started to come and see the Lord and appreciate beauty of the Lord and all like that. Then afterwards, what happened one day? So every time we go up, they give the book and we put donation. They give book. So like that, there were about 20 books. They also there sitting in my house. 20 books there. Then, you know, one day my Prabhu said that they are giving these books. You are simply taking. You are not even reading. Why you are taking? If they give, you give to somebody like that. You just put donation and walk there. I said, how can I do that? If they are giving something, I can't say no. I'm not telling you to tell no, but you read. If you read, then you take author. It's no problem for me. Then I said, whether I read or not, I can't say no. Then what happened? This, my Prabhu telling that was a very good thing for me, because my daughter was very little. She used to go to kinder. After she come, then, you know, I used to bring her, then feed her and put her to sleep. Then I would open the book and say, let us see what is there in this book. They are giving so much, I don't even know what is there in this book. Then I started to read, oh my God, so nice. Then I was telling my husband, oh, these books are amazing, you know, they are about the real life. So nice. Then that night, then, you know, I finished all my work in the night. Again I sat and completed. Then slowly I read from cover to cover. In about 20-25 days, I finished all the books. Then I was waiting for the next Sunday to come to take another book. So like that, you know, very much got so much taste in reading. And, you know, I used to tell my husband and my daughter these books are about. Then my Prabhu, when he would sleep, you know, I would tell that whether you read or not, at least I will read, you listen to it, you know. Like that, you know, I was telling him to listen. So like that, you know, we coming to temple. Then our 4 years term of HMT was over. It was time to go to India. That time, the last few years, then we told Anikita Prabhu, we are going away. Then Prabhu said that, no, you are not going anywhere. We won't let you go anywhere. Said, we have to go. Then, you know, he said, why don't you apply for PR? Of course, we applied for New Zealand PR. We got. So, and after that, what happened, then we had to go to India, and then we came back, of course, because we missed Melbourne so much, and we went to Jagannath Puri, Mayapur, and all those places. And then we came back, and after we came back, I was telling my Prabhu that please buy me Bhagavatam. Before even we went, we told, please buy me Bhagavatam. I want Bhagavatam books in my house. Then my Prabhu said, no, we are going off to India in the ship, you know, it will go on to become wet and all, it was spoiled, so we won't buy now. After we go to India, we'll buy. But eventually, we didn't live in India, we came back here. We met Aniruddha Prabhu in Jagannath Puri, and Jagannath Puri, Aniruddha Prabhu said that you should come back. Then, you know, then we spoke to my father-in-law, he agreed. Then, you know, he only told us, actually, you go, you're all young, your future is important, don't worry about me, I will come and stay with you. Then we came back, after we came back here, the first thing we got in our house was Srimad Bhagavatam. So, very, very happy. Then, you know, since then, I was reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Very, very nice. Even today, like, you know, all the instruction that I give anybody, even if you get little time, you know, please read Bhagavatam. Sometimes you may not find time to read purports. So that is why we think that, oh, better, like everybody, sometimes they think, oh, reading so huge books, where is the time, you know, they don't. At least you read translations, you know, at least you read translations, like that, you know, you will get higher taste, you will understand, and then you want to read more, want to know more, then you will read purports also like that. So very, very nice is Srimad Bhagavatam, like Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we came here, and somehow this devotee, he gave us his association, he told us, please take initiation. Then at that time, my Guru Maharaj and the Tamakrishna Maharaj, they used to come very frequently, and we associated and heard lots of their lectures. And when I met my Guru Maharaj, I felt very, very fatherly, very kind, and very, very, like, you know, I felt very happy to meet him. You know, I asked to give shelter, and the Guru Maharaj accepted us, initiated us in 1998, first initiation. And after that, 7 years after that, we got Brahman initiation, engaged in deity worship, and teaching children for past 25 years now. All my old children are PhDs, doctors, engineers, and lawyers. They all come to temple, and very nice. Harshal is one of my students. You all know Harshal, right? Yeah, I used to teach him so many chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And today still I'm teaching. I'm still here. I don't know still how long I will go on. But thank you all very, very much for patiently listening.